You're listening to LawPod UK. It's a podcast that covers developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. It's brought to you by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row, and this edition is presented by Emma-Louise Fenlon.
The bar has traditionally suffered from a perception as being predominantly male, pale and stale. The latest Bar Standard Board diversity report makes for interesting reading, assuming one is particularly interested in statistics. While there's no reason to be complacent, in terms of ethnic diversity and gender balance, things are encouraging. The UK population includes 13% of those who identify as black and ethnic minority. This is replicated at the bar. In addition, the bar is now made up of 40% women. One area, however, that has lagged behind considerably is that of social mobility. Here with me to talk about access to the bar is our outreach champion at 1 Crown Office Row, Jo Moore. Jo, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Also here with me is Laura Bruce from the Sutton Trust, a charity focused on social mobility currently working with 1 Crown Office Row. Laura, it's lovely to have you here too.
Thank you. Hello.
Jo, to kick things off, can you tell listeners why outreach is important at the bar?
I think that diversity at the bar is important because the legal profession should really reflect the society that it serves in order for people to have faith in it. But also just because there will be good potential barristers from a variety of backgrounds, ethnicities and genders. It's unfair that anyone who would want to be a barrister and who would make a good barrister is excluded on the basis of something as silly as their background or their race, when what we're looking at is quality. And from a selfish point of view, in chambers, we just want to have the best person for the job, regardless of who that person might be.
And Laura, can you tell us a little bit about the work of the Sutton Trust in this regard?
Yeah, of course. So the Sutton Trust, as you mentioned, we're a social mobility foundation. We've been working for about 22 years to try and improve social mobility across the UK. We work in a number of areas, so looking at research, policy and advocacy, trying to change policies within government to make more structural change within society, but focusing on programmes specifically on working with young people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds who are high attaining at school to try and give them access to leading universities across the country, but also professions that perhaps have been a little less accessible to them in the past.
And speaking of that, just before we began, you told me some fairly eye-watering statistics. 71% of barristers currently practising were privately educated, and that's compared to 7% of the UK population. Mm-hmm. Even more eye-watering is the fact that 78% of those practising at the bar are Oxbridge graduates, and that's compared to 1% of the population. So although things have moved forward in terms of gender and ethnic diversity, social mobility appears to be lagging far behind.
Exactly, and to say also that that's looking at very high level social mobility as well. We're only looking there at state educated and privately educated. We've not begun to dig down into students who are potentially at low performing schools, who are on free school meals, who perhaps haven't had a parent that have gone through university or anybody in their network who's been in a professional career. So there's still a lot of work to be done, firstly at the privately educated and state educated level, but then also looking at individual circumstances as well.
Jo, can you tell us a little bit about what we've been doing at 1 Crown Office Row to sort of improve matters?
Yeah, of course. So I've quite recently taken over as head of outreach after our former head of outreach, Sarabjit Singh QC, got promoted to a wider ranging outreach post. What we've been doing is working really closely with the Sutton Trust and basically piggybacking on their excellent programmes and helping them out. Things like going to talk to young people ages about 16 to 18 and sometimes a bit younger about the legal profession, show them that the makeup of the legal profession is mixed, that it's open to people from different backgrounds, giving them training, so practical training such as advocacy, helping out in moots that are organised or mock trials, leading discussions about the law, but also just telling them about the pathways to the bar, the scholarships that are on offer that can help people who are concerned about the eye-watering cost of legal education. And what we're really looking forward to doing, which I'm very happy to say is coming up quite soon, is that in October we'll be hosting 6 Sutton Trust pupils in chambers for 3 days and giving them a real flavour of life at the bar.
And the predecessor that you referred to, Sarabjit Singh, rather the inimitable Sarabjit Singh, has now been promoted, as you say, to become one of the mobility advocates for the I Am The Bar campaign, which was set up by the Bar Council. I just wonder, Laura, how important do you think visibility is for people who are from backgrounds that haven't come across
those in the professions before.
It's incredibly important, and we see from our students that work experience is the number one activity that we can do to transform their view of a profession. We work with students to see what university might be like, how they might write a personal statement, how they can get there, what a law lecture is like, but it's that 3 days or 5 days that they spend in a work experience placement that really changes their view. And we've had some amazing feedback from students who've spent time in barristers' chambers around the idea that they've come in terrified of what a barrister might be and what they might look like, and then they meet people and they realise they're real people too, and they can talk to them and it's accessible. So it really changes that view that students might have of who a barrister might be, and gives them a role model that they can look up to and see themselves. But I think that's also going back to the points that you made earlier, why it's important to have a wider diversity of genders, of ethnicities, so that students can really come in and see somebody that looks like them within the profession, to give them that encouragement that this is a place where they could belong to.
And certainly speaking personally, I remember my own final pupillage interview at One Crown Office Row, and one of the female silks on the panel turned around and said to me, "Don't worry at all about, you know, taking silk as a woman. If you want a family, you can do that. There's plenty here. We've got loads more than anyone else." And I remember that always stuck in my mind. But it did also remind me of when I went and did one of these outreach programs with Jo, and we were talking to a number of school students who wore headscarves, and their main concern was not that they would be embarrassed or that public speaking was terrifying, it was that they couldn't imagine a barrister wearing a headscarf. And that really blew my mind. And then I said, oh no, there's plenty of people, you should Google this person, there's this excellent person at Brick Court. And it was nice being able to sort of blow up that myth. I'm sure you've found similar, Jo.
I had the same, almost exactly the same conversation with somebody who, actually, we had one of the outreach sessions that are run by Sutton Trust in the Inner Temple. And part of that is we let the students try on wigs and gowns. And there was a student who was wearing a turban and said to me, well, I don't know if I could wear the wig because I wear a turban. Is that a thing that can be done? And I was able to show that student a picture on my phone of Lord Justice Singh and say, you know, well, there's somebody in the Court of Appeal who wears one, so I think you'll be fine at the bar. It was really nice. It was a really nice moment just to be able to share that. I think visibility is important for that reason.
And in terms of what barristers get out of being involved in these kind of schemes, it's actually, I mean, possibly sounds a little corny, but it gives an awful lot back to you when you turn up at one of these events. That's certainly what members of OneCore have said and reported back after sessions, and the feedback is all seems to be really positive.
Yeah, we definitely see that. And across, we run a number of different pathways programs, and across the suite of programs, we had a quote the other day from somebody who works for a bank who said it's been the most rewarding 6 days of his professional career working with Sutton Trust students. And so I think that impact of actually giving back and showing that you are accessible, you're wanting to encourage the next generation of lawyers, of barristers to come into the profession, can really help an individual give back to society as well.
So how can people get involved?
So with the Sutton Trust, we have a number of ways to be involved. As Jo's mentioned, we're really excited to be working with One Crown Row this year to offer work experience. So if your chamber or law firm is interested in providing some work experience, you can work with us through that way. If you're interested in funding the programme and helping us to reach more students, we can also work with you in that way as well. I'd really encourage everybody to look at the Social Mobility Pledge, which Justine Greening launched, which looks at organisations partnering with schools or charities with providing access through work experience placements, but also looking at their recruitment practices as well to make sure that you are identifying talent and thinking about talent in a much broader sense than just your average Oxbridge graduate and privately educated young person.
And certainly my experience from being involved is that it's not particularly difficult for barristers to turn up on the day and everything is basically set out and ready for them.
Yeah, certainly, Emma, you'll have experience of reading my All Chambers emails that try to get people involved saying, have you got an hour or have you got 2 hours to spare? And it really does only take that short amount of time because Sutton Trust are so good at preparing the materials, telling you where to go, what you'll need to do, that really you need to briefly read into something and then you can have a massive impact. So I'd encourage any barristers or solicitors listening that it doesn't take that much effort to be involved in these programmes. They do a huge amount of the legwork for you and they just really want a bit of your time. It's really appreciated and it's actually quite easy to do.
And in terms of pathways to law, Laura, in terms of success stories, what experience do you have of people going through the programme and then ultimately ending up at the bar?
So we work on average at the moment with about 400 students a year that go through the programme, and some of the surveys we've done with our alumni show about two-thirds go on to study law or a law-related degree when they go to university, and that's not to say they don't then go on to do a conversion course afterwards. And also about a third of students go directly into a law-related profession, so whether that's a training contract and then eventually kind of working up to the bar as well. We have so many success stories, and the individual stories are the bits that get us the most, I suppose, and help people to see the impact that you can have on individuals. So I met a student last week who was supporting a graduation programme for our Manchester Pathways to Law students, and she'd actually just secured her first training contract with the solicitor firm who gave her work experience when she was 16. And she went into the room to have her interview and saw the same person that had run that work experience for her and immediately calmed her nerves and managed to do that. We do have a number of students that are also applying for and have received pupillage, so we're waiting to see the impact that those students will have once they move through. We have a number of students on our alumni leadership board who give back to the programme. So they've done Pathways to Law, they're now working in law firms, and they're now sitting on our advisory board to help us make the programme even better and engage students. And even some students who don't go on into the profession, we have stories of a person who was on our UK summer schools on the law strand, who's now become a law professor at a university and is setting up Pathways to Law within his university. So there's lots of stories that kind of bring to life the statistics that we see, and not just the kind of two-thirds go on to study, one-third go into employment. That transformational piece for individual students really does make it all worth it.
Well, we will include more information on the usual UK Human Rights blog blurb that accompanies the podcast. But if anybody does want to get involved, all the information for contact details for both you and the Sutton Trust will be there. I hope some of the reports, success stories as well. Thank you both very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
LawPod UK was presented by Emma Louise Fenlon and is produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast and recommend us to a friend.